We're back one more week. Incendiary Radio, 20th day of September 2015, republicbroadcasting.org. Tonight I've got one of my favorite people that I look into when breaking news is happening. When I'm digging into the YouTube venue. Now, I know a lot of the listeners to RBN, a lot of you do follow things on YouTube and a lot of you don't. A lot of you guys listen straight through the listen-in lines on phones and so forth. But the thing is, my guest and a few other people out there on YouTube, I've noticed quite a bit that basically they're many times ahead of people that are running websites. They're ahead of a lot of bloggers and so forth when breaking news is happening. And especially when it comes to these shooting hoaxes, I noticed that Professor Doom, who's my guest tonight, him and a few others are always way out in front of a lot of these stories. And so, I know a lot of the RBN listeners, you're older folks, and some of you don't play around on the internet much. But the thing is, if you really want to stay on the basic cutting edge of when something's happening, getting the video evidence and everything else together, these guys, a lot of times this is where I go to really find out the breaking news. So my guest tonight, Professor Doom, he runs ProfessorDoom1.wix.com, and he's got two YouTube channels. Professor Doom 1 and 2, welcome to the program, man.
Hey, thank you for having me. Good to be here.
So what's first and foremost going on your plate right now? What's the cutting, breaking story that you got going on? I'm looking at this light projection at the Hoover Dam. It appears to be a portal being opened. What's going on with that?
Yeah, how do you like that? There's been a few projections going on. I'll take you to the last one. They just had it, the Empire State Building. I do believe it was August 8th or 9th, I want to say. And it was the goddess Kali, the goddess of destruction. Well, it seems strange that they got these weird projections going on. You had the, I don't know if your listeners are familiar with the goat symbolism, but that was the first projection on the Hoover Dam, was the Köln soccer team from, I think, Germany. And it was a goat symbolism with its front hooves on top of like a globe. And then the next projection was, very interesting. That was, man, it looked like some kind of wormhole opening up. They said something about 10 times to the sun and back, and had like these tentacles that were coming from the earth and going to the sun and back. And they're trying to say something for sure.
Yeah, so I'm sure you're tying this in with CERN, which everybody's been talking about. Now the Pope's here in this hemisphere. September 23rd. My gosh, it's enough chatter out here to make somebody vomit. It's like mental overload. We're 3 days away. What's your gut telling you right now?
Well, okay, I'm glad you asked that, because this conversation just came up here a few days ago, and we were looking at all the circumstances about how the Pope became the Pope here just a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Pope Ratzinger, he retires, right?
Yeah.
Which is weird. He steps down. That's like unheard of. And this other guy steps in. And we go like, okay, well, wait a minute. So, okay, why did he retire? And why is this Jesuit Pope, taking the reins, right? So we started analyzing it. We're going, wait a minute. What if this is like what we're seeing with like Sandy Hook and some of these other hoaxed events, where The individuals that are participating in these events kind of move into the neighborhood and stay there for a year or two. Then the event goes down, and then all of a sudden they're gone. You know, let's take Robbie Parker from Sandy Hook, for instance. You know, he moves from, like they say, Utah or California, comes over there to Connecticut. He's working, and then all of a sudden, guess what? He's only there for 2 years, and he's gone. That happened with quite a few of those families, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm looking at the Pope in the exact same way now. I'm going, okay, this guy steps in. What if he's coming to the United States and there's going to be like a huge false flag involving the Pope, and it's going to be like super huge, you know, like a, maybe even some kind of a dirty bomb explosion or something like that in New York, wherever the heck he's going to be. And it might even go off in a few different places. And then they're going to say that the Pope's dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think that they would blame this incident on?
Well, my first guess would be Iran.
Okay. And what kind of religious war do you think may brew out of something like this happening?
Yeah, a new crusade. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, aren't they trying to disrupt this planet like never before? That's how I see it.
Yeah. Now, have you seen these comparisons with the Pope and this prominent actor floating around? What's your take on that?
I've seen a lot of people. It's mind boggling. You know,
yeah.
They'll say this person looks like this person. I'll look at it and I go, well, the nose is different. The ears are off. And it's like, I don't know. It's just like they don't really look and analyze it closely. They just go, oh, that looks just like that person. But they're not really, you know, looking deeper. You know, look at all the little, you know, the facial features. And I look at it, I go, I don't know how in the hell you came up with that.
Yeah. Now, with some of his cryptic statements, and, you know, my mom's Italian, and I was raised in Vatican II circles, and so I really look heavily into this stuff. So you got Peter Hans von Kolvenbach. He steps down. He was the present Black Pope, so he steps down. Then Adolfo Nicolas Pashon, he steps in. So you got two Jesuit generals alive right now. So then Ratzinger, he steps down. And now you've got Bergoglio. So you got basically two Jesuit generals and two popes on the earth right now. But basically three out of the four of them are Jesuits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what about these cryptic statements like that you heard from Bergoglio's, like, I'm only going to be here a couple years. You remember that, right?
Sure. Yeah. So, and guess how long ago he said it?
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
Now, do you see why I was saying that this little trip to the United States is going to mean a heck of a lot more than you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's freaky. He's going to be in Philadelphia, and he's going to be at the UN, and he's going to do this joint session of Congress. First time in the history of this country that a sitting head of the papal state is going to speak before a joint session of Congress. And John Boehner is Catholic. Nancy Pelosi is a pseudo-Catholic. Six of our Supreme Court judges are Catholics, but one of them's actually basically crypto-Jewish. That's Sotomayor. But do you think that possibly we could be facing maybe a false assassination attempt and or a major false flag? I've been really just looking at Chicago very heavily. Have you, in your research, really with Rahm Emanuel being the mayor, with Larry Silverstein buying the former Sears Tower, now the Willis Tower, and the belly-up nature of the financial situation in Chicago. Have you really got any feelings about that city?
Well, of course, other than just the some of the movies that we've been watching too, and they'll give you clues. You know what I mean? They love doing that. And you'll see these clues as Chicago, Transformer movie, Chicago.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'm kind of torn because, you know, this whole Philadelphia thing, there's something tells me that there's something about Philadelphia, and it has to do with a couple clues that I seen also. It's just I can't remember what it was off the top of my head, but the one thing you're right about, Silverstein, keeping your eye on him and what he's doing are clues that, you know, can help you decipher exactly what's going on. And that's what leads me to believe that if there's going to be something that goes on with, they're going to say something's going to happen to the Pope. I do believe that it's going to be fake. It's going to be huge, but it's not going to be him, or he's not going to be there like they say, and he's gone. Well, that's going to usher in a whole bunch of stuff, right? But with Silverstein, he owns a couple, like you said, a couple of these places, and really, they are, you know, dilapidated. There's some of these places we're talking about have asbestos problems also. Mm-hmm. So why not have another incident just like 9/11? You blow one of those up right along with the, let's say, Chicago, Philadelphia. The Golden Gate Bridge just went under some kind of reconstructive or refurbishment. Mm-hmm. Who's to say that they couldn't have planned a little something there?
Yeah, well, I saw a Stefan Molyneux video a couple weeks ago, and it's called The Fall of Chicago, There Will Be No Recovery. And he digs into the real nuts and bolts of the financial situation there. The pension system, billions in the hole, the entire municipal government there just barely plugging away and keeping afloat. It's like basically on the verge of total collapse. And I just got this feeling when I watched his video, The Fall of Chicago, There Will Be No Recovery, I just got this feeling inside. I was like, my gosh, what a way to really just get out from under that whole pension bubble and everything else that's about to completely burst by basically, you know, doing some massive sort of bioweapon release or some sort of a dirty bomb, false flag, nuclear hit on the city. Yes. killing off most of those people that are you know, on the pension system now, all the retired cops, firemen, teachers, et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, you when you're looking at all the stuff that's going on with they stopped the lottery payments.
Yeah.
All this other weird stuff going on. And when you look at it as a whole, you kind of get the feeling like they have, I don't want to say anticipated this was going to happen, but I would say more like ensured that it happened just like this at the time it's happening. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like robbing the people for, you know, over years and years time, you know, government wise, you know, just siphoning off the money, robbing the people blind, knowing that you're playing it out until this one moment and you're noticing all this stuff come together, you know, just perfectly. The lottery, the pension, all this stuff is just coming together to, you know, it's perfect for what you're, you know, a dirty bomb, just like like he was saying.
Yeah. Now, you know, if somebody wins just like a couple hundred grand in the lottery up there and they can't pay it off, you know how bad the situation is. That's what's so freaky. Now, let's talk about Jade Helm real quick. Okay. So officially it's over. But the implements, the vehicles, everything is in place. And this is what's got me freaked out. Okay. So officially, it goes from June 15th to September 15th. So 5 days, Jade Helm is supposed to be over. But now we're entering this September 23rd through the 28th real window that everybody's been looking at. And so everything's in place. Let's talk about the troop movements that you and some of the other guys out here, the Red Crescent vehicles and all this weird trash. You talk about that a little bit.
Well, the Red Crescent vehicles understand this. There are people that are really mean well on YouTube. Some of them are put out there without doing any research, and I'm not accusing anybody of anything because I know Dabu 7 is a really good guy. He was mistaken, and those Crescent vehicles are actually from 2012. Now, whether they were built here and were being shipped out, I don't know.
Yeah.
But the other Crescent vehicles that I am not able to vet where it, what parking lot the pictures were or what video was taken from, but there are these weird type of semi-type vehicles that have a Crescent on there with an emblem of a wreath with a Crescent inside with a crown on it. Mm-hmm. So where those came from or what that emblem even represents, I don't know. But those are pretty interesting.
Now, what's your take on the whole, you know, all these other militaries operating here incognito, that whole slant, that whole angle? Where are you at with, you know, you got Dave Hodges and these guys talking about Russian troops everywhere. Where are you at with it? Are you, or which way are you leaning on the all the foreign troops here? What about the UN vehicles as well? Go ahead and address those.
Okay, well, for one thing, I can understand, and there has been military that have come out over the years talking about how Russian forces and UN forces were training here, NATO forces, stuff like that, mm-hmm. and that's true. But the thing is we're kind of like at the age of everybody's got a cell phone. You know, if you can't take a picture of it or video footage and prove what you're saying, I mean, it's not helping us by just saying it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you got
to
give these people something where they know where the threat's coming from. Now, with the Jade Helm situation, just because they technically have it on paper that it was over, think about what was going on before Jade Helm was even technically started. You had all kinds of weird military exercises going on in Fort Bragg between British soldiers and American Marines. Mm-hmm. Army, actually, I do believe it was Army paratroopers, right? And British soldiers. Then you had these American soldiers were doing exercises at Texas airports, you know, taking over airports. Now we got these exercises that came up after Jade Helm started was Raider Focus out of Colorado going down to Pinyon Canyon from Fort Carson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how come everybody was taking pictures of the vehicles, those Stryker vehicles, going down there, and there were 300 or more going down there, but no one has even caught a picture of them going back? So that exercise right there was bigger than Jade Helm. We're talking 4,000 troops. We're seeing mass amounts of military equipment being transported on trains.
Yeah.
You know, some people will argue that, you know, they're just being transported between bases, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm telling you now, I'm not buying all that myself. Really not. It's just, it seemed to be strategically going to exactly the spots where the Jade Helm exercise was taking place. Texas, Arizona, New Mexico. You know, if they were like spotted going up to like Ohio or something or Minnesota, I'd be like, okay, that's, you know, whatever. But nah, it seems to be right here in the southern states where you're seeing all these transporting going on.
So CERN, September 23rd, what's your, as far as it cranking up to, you know, up to, let's say, the volume going on to 10. Where, you know, what have you uncovered as far as CERN? Well, I hear the music. Yeah,
yes, I'll answer that when I get back.
Right, we'll pick that up on the other side. Incendiary Radio, folks. IncendiaryChat.chatango.com. IncendiaryRadio.chatango.com. I found a fallen angel. Folks, we're back. Incendiary Radio, Sunday nights. IncendiaryRadio@gmail.com is how you can reach me. My guest tonight, Professor Doom. He runs Professor Doom 1 and Professor Doom 2 on YouTube. It's one of my go-to people, man. I stumbled across his YouTube channel a while back, and it's one of those ones that I visit, you know, on a regular basis because he keeps up on a lot of stuff. It's good analysis. And so we were talking about Jade Helm. Technically, it's over according to the mouthpieces in the government. And then so now we're facing this time that everybody's been talking about, you know, September 23rd, this big day. Let me just ask you this. You've been following the chatter out there. How many times have you seen this 923 in various formats, whether it be Hollywood, news, music, this numerical sequence? About how many instances have you seen a predictive programming with this number?
Oh, man, I can't even count that high. I could tell you this. It's been in music. We're talking about Rihanna. We're talking about AWOL Nation, different movies. And you know what I like to tell everybody is that before 9/11, you know, we didn't know what to look for. It happened, right? And then all of a sudden, you go back to these movies pre-9/11.
It's everywhere.
You go, wait a minute. That was in Simpsons. It was in this. It was in that. And that's the whole thing now. Everybody knows what to look for. So now it's just kind of like right in your face. You know what I mean? It's like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Now, that's the thing about predictive programming. It's like everybody was really before 9/11. I would say only a handful of people were really. Michael Hoffman's one of them, because I've got a book of his called Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare that was put out before 9/11. It was put out in 2001, but before 9/11 happened. And I swear the book almost predicts, it doesn't predict it outright, but it predicts it just kind of like symbolically. And he was already on to the trail of this whole thing, this lesser magic, this predictive programming thing. But I've seen this in so many instances, it's kind of freaky. And, you know, and this kind of ties in with these what I consider psyops, Gladio style shooting events that we're seeing, because now people are getting kind of hip to the MO on these questionable shootings. And I know you've broke down a bunch of them. So we've had Charleston, we've had Charlie Hebdo, we've had Chattanooga, we've had the Virginia shooting, the reporter shooting. We had Elliot Roger out there in Santa Barbara. There's so many of these things, I can't even keep up with them anymore. It's freaky.
Right. Well, you know, for your listeners, just so they understand, not every instance is a hoax or a false flag or fakery. Not every one of them, but I'll tell you this, there are, I like to operate in the sense of like a homicide detective, and I will look at different aspects of the event that happened, and is there enough, evidence, prima facie evidence that a hoax has taken place? Let's take this last one in Virginia, for instance. It doesn't seem that anybody can get their story right. We have a cop who was first on the scene. He carried the surviving victim, Vicky Garner, to the police car. Got blood all over him. Oh, he was traumatized. The husband of Vicky Garner claims that he talked to his wife while she was in the ambulance, and she says that she got up and walked to the ambulance. Well, she gets on there, and she says that the cop showed up and helped her to the to a truck. Mm. So it's like, that was enough for me, right? Mm-hmm. Well, there's just so much about this. It's just not about the bullets. Was the gun, a prop gun? Or, you know, was it shooting blanks? There's so much to it. Why would Vester Flanagan wait for the cameraman to turn his camera on Vicky Garner and Allison Parker, knowing that technically the news channel station should have implemented their delay system? They have a delay on there. It's like 10 seconds, right?
Yeah.
Why would you wait for that?
All right, let's pick this up on the other side, a short break, and then we got a long segment coming on Incendiary Radio, folks.
All right.
Erie Radio, Sunday nights, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Central. My guest for the first 2 hours is Professor Doom. Now, I got his YouTube channel pulled up, and he's got around 41,000 subscribers with 7.5 million views of his videos. And so a lot of people pay attention to his stuff. And so we were talking about the Virginia reporter shooting incident. And, you know, my listeners heard, I've played it before on the air where I actually got through to Alex Jones that day. And basically he asked me what I thought of it. And I was like, well, it looks like something between a 9 and a 40. And I was like, a guy takes three pot shots at pretty much point blank range at about a 110-pound woman. And she turns and runs away. I've got to question the validity of the footage because I used to be a firearms instructor for a number of years, and I know what a round will do to a woman that size at that close range, and she's not going to turn and run away. And so, but there were so many other anomalies with this incident. And I noticed this thing in alternative media circles, and I wanted to bounce this off you. I think the psychological operators and the people that have the ability to pull these incidents, I think they've done so many now, they've made a good portion of people gun shy to say this looks questionable. Well, because I think there's been so many questionable events in such quick succession that now they've got a lot of people that should know better freaked out to where they won't say, hey, this one looks crazy to me too. Have you noticed that, to where it's like they've done so many so rapidly that now they've made people basically hesitant to call a hoax a hoax?
No, actually, I think it the way I'm seeing it is actually quite the opposite. It's like, there are so many people that saw this last incident, and they're going, oh, hell no. Hell no, was that real? And there are people that are coming out and are actually getting suspended from radio shows that
Yeah,
and they've never been accused of, like, you know, being conspiracy theorists when it comes to, like, Sandy Hook or something. And the whole thing is that this is a good thing, because when they see it and they go, you know what? I remember hearing people talking about how Sandy Hook wasn't real or Charleston wasn't real. Let me go check to see if what they were saying actually has some validity to it. And that's what we need, because they've been trying to paint these investigators of these hoaxes as conspiracy theorists, when we do nothing more than use the exact same criteria, the exact same techniques, the exact same type of investigative skills that a homicide detective will use. If we see somebody that is not showing any kind of emotion and is preoccupied with, like, let's say, gun control instead of grieving for their family member, that is a red flag. A homicide detective, if they see that a mother and father has reported their child abducted from their bedroom, and the parents aren't grieving, and they show up in front of the media and they're not grieving, what do? That's right, they put their focus right on the parents as being the perpetrators of the abduction, or the reason why their child is missing. So we do the exact same thing, but because they don't want people listening to what we have to say, what do the government and media, mainstream media, what do they term us? That's right, conspiracy theorists, and make it sound like it's a, you know, like a bad word. You know what I mean? So
yeah, and I just maybe I'm compartmentalized in some of the circles I travel in. I'm noticing that I didn't really let me say in certain sectors of alternative media, I'm seeing people that are being hesitant. Like in out here on YouTube, I mean, pretty much everybody's catching it in your circles, you know, and a bunch of the other, even in some of the in the black sector, like Red Silver J and Team Wake 'Em Up, and in that side of the house, these guys are on it too. Right. But in some, let's just say in certain areas of alternative media, like let's say in the pro-white movement, a lot of them are very hesitant to call a hoax a hoax. They really don't want to be lumped in the conspiracy theory bucket, or thrown into that world. And so maybe I'm just compartmentalized there. Now, go ahead.
I was going to say, I understand what you're talking about, but we have kind of an issue, at least I think it's an issue, is that when you have, take myself, for instance, who is an investigator in these hoaxes, mm-hmm. who's also a self-proclaimed patriot, and a prepper, and all of these other things out there that most of the people are, well, the preppers don't get into these hoax investigations.
Yeah.
The patriots don't. They just basically see that there's an injustice being done with somebody, and they'll come to the rescue, militia, patriot, whatever.
Yeah.
But the thing is these patriots got to know where their next attack could be coming from. And that's go ahead.
You know, what freaks me out is a lot of these guys in the patriot movement, they come out of Pentagon circles like me. I was in the Marine Corps. Okay, I know that there's entire wings of Pentagon that are dedicated to psychological operations. And then you get into the intelligence world, the Central Intelligence Agency. What percentage is probably used to propagandize the very population in which they are, part of the government? And that's what a lot of these guys, I just don't think that they get it, like a lot of the Oath Keeper types and so forth. It's like these are... It's like, yeah, they're good people. They're pro Second Amendment. They're pro free speech. They're pro this and that. But it's just like they're unwilling to turn the microscope inward into large portions of our government, which are controlled by rogue elements. And they're like, hey, wait a minute, this might be a fraud here. And so look at down there at Chattanooga, which had some anomalies, and these guys are all going out there to guard the military recruiting stations, and it's like, guys, you're getting sucked into the psyop here. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? But also, you got to understand this: not all military personnel knows the underhandedness of what's going on, and so when they see that their brothers, who they think have died in Chattanooga, and they see patriots and militia stepping up and being there to protect them, don't you think it's going to be much harder for the government to say, "Hey, we need to go after these guys' guns"? And they're going to go, "Wait a minute, these guys just stepped up and gave us my fellow brothers the protection that you weren't going to give them, and you want me to go after their guns?" They're going to stick their middle fingers up at them. And here's another thing, too. All the military who might be out there, listen, I want you to think about something, how your own president sold the military out with the Bo Bergdahl deal, how SEAL Team 6 mysteriously ended up dying. Yeah. Think about who that you're getting behind, your government or the guys who you claim to be your comrades in the military who are dying behind, this government. The two Navy SEALs that died in the ship. Remember that whole story? They just didn't die off of that drug overdose like they're claiming. That's a bunch of BS.
Yeah. Now, here's another weird thing that, okay, at the football games and the big sports, they'll have the troops out there carrying the flag around, and they'll have Hero Night and the rest of it. But the day you take the uniform off, now you've been thrown into the possible terrorist camp. So one day you're a hero, the next day you get your DD-214 and you're out of the military. Guess what? Now the very hero bunch that you were just involved with, now they're being told to turn against you because you're no longer in the military, and now you could be a threat to the established order. That's what's just so cognitive dissonance. It's so thick that you can cut it.
Right, that's the whole problem. It's like, you're in the military now, and are any of them looking at what's going on with the vets? Because remember, the same thing can happen to you once you're out of the military. They're going to treat you just the same way. You think that it's, that you're not going to outlive your usefulness? When you're in the military and you're out of it, just think it's going to happen to you. And I would think that a lot of these military guys having family, a lot of these guys join the military because moms and dads was in the military too. How do you think mom and dad's going to feel about them accepting an order to go after people and maybe even shoot them to take their guns away. You know, you're going to have to face mom and dad after all that. And they didn't sign up to be in the military to have their children join the military and do something stupid like that.
Now, let me ask you this about the purging of the so many of these military officers of pretty high grade. Now, there's a couple different scenarios that float around out here. Do you think that a lot of these heavy hitter Pentagon heavy hitters were purged because they didn't want to go along with some sort of a gun grab agenda? Or do you think that they were bad elements left over from the neocon faction that hit us on 9/11, Bush administration, you know, Mossad and all that? Which one do you kind of subscribe to? Do you think these are guys that didn't want to go along with a gun grab, or somehow these are bad neocon leftovers?
Well, if I look at, I do believe it was General Hamm.
Carter Hamm, yeah.
Yeah, and he was the one who was like very adamant about Benghazi, and he was told to stand down, and he became very, very disillusioned with what he was seeing and what was going on. And as a matter of fact, they wouldn't even let him speak. It was CIA Panetta that was doing all the talking, and soon after Hamm was gone. And so I have to think that a lot of these guys are really not liking the direction of what's going on. It's like they're being told that, okay, well, this is what we got planned. And if you look at the one guy who came out who was ex-Green Beret talking about what they got planned, you know, setting up 10 different kind of regions on the planet, well, what is that going to entail? Does it have to do with the New World Order, like 1991 George Bush Sr. had to say? Well, if it does, then it's going to be a lot of bloodshed behind that. And I think that there's a lot of higher-ups that are like, you know, I joined the military to, you know, because these are my, you know, fellow Americans, not because I want to subjugate them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so let me throw this one at you. The retail apocalypse going on, but yet these outlet malls springing up and all coming online. Where are you at with that? Or do you look like these are gulags hidden in plain sight? I've really kind of leaned that way.
I'm not exactly familiar with what you're what of this is you coming online. You mean like
a lot of these outlet malls that have very questionable architecture?
Yes. Sure.
Go ahead.
Yes. Well, some of them can be. They try to explain them away with like the old Walmart that closed down.
Yeah.
Think about this. You know, Walmart closed all these stores down, and they wouldn't even sell the buildings. They won't, you know, destroy it and sell the property, nothing like that. So why did they keep them all over these years, and they had the opportunity to sell them? As a matter of fact, they were going to sell them, and they backed out of the deal. This was years ago. And now all of a sudden, we have some drone footage of where they were building, you know, barbed wire fences around the top of these strip malls and around Walmart. God, when you look at that, and then you look at the strategic locations where these Walmarts were closed down back in April 16th of earlier this year, they all closed down on the same day for the exact same reason. They had just stocked up all of their shelves with perishables, and then you're going to tell me that they decided to close them all down at the last moment and sell all of those perishables that they just stocked at 50% off, knowing full well that they were going to be closing it down weeks in advance? Nah. Come on now. Someone got the call, because we know that Walmart works with the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA. Department of Homeland Security says, okay, we're a go. All right, we're closing these five down right here. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense to do it any other way than what I just stated, because you're not going to want to lose money. And you had this whole plan of shutting it down to fix plumbing. That was bullcrap. You pretty much gutted the whole freaking Walmart. It didn't take gutting to do that. And they've had Walmarts closed down where they did major work on it, and they left it open and just closed off certain sections.
Yeah. So, now, what's your research bring you about old man Sam Walton and him running internment camps and that sort of thing?
Sure. Of course. That's back in the 1940s or whatever. You know, him. There's another internment camp I don't think that they're familiar with. Do you know the German internment camps, the prisoners of war? Do you remember how many Germans died in that instance?
Oh, yeah. I mean, have you seen the Hellstorm documentary? A buddy of mine put that one out, Kyle Hunt. They killed millions of people, Eisenhower and these guys.
Yes.
In the German POW camp, starved them out in the middle of winter.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Yeah, so, you know, if people are thinking that we got humanitarians running this planet, they got another thing coming.
Yeah. Right. So we got a break coming up shortly, and we'll have a short segment and then a long segment after the top of the hour. So asteroids, see a lot of chatter that the 923, and what do you see any veracity to an object hitting the Earth, whether it's Planet X or an asteroid?
Well, there's a lot of speculation about what particular day, because we've been seeing, 23rd to the 28th. And all I can tell you is that just like we were talking off air about the Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Yellowstone, where they're kind of suppressing the data, any kind of seismic activity. Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing can happen with any kind of meteor strike against the planet, asteroid, whatever. Is there something coming that they're not even alerting us to, that we don't even know about? And what about the stuff that we do know about? Well, as you said, 23rd to the 28th, it's a lot of speculation going on. A lot of people are raising some very good arguments that it could happen, but I don't have any definitive proof one way or the other.
All right. Well, we'll pick this up on the other side, folks. The Cindieri Radio. Hope you're enjoying it. Folks, we're back. Incendiary Radio, Sunday nights. My guest, Professor Doom. You can find him on YouTube. His channels, Professor Doom 1 and Professor Doom 2. He's got a website, ProfessorDoom1.wix.com. I wanted to get to this since we got a short segment. Folding up the money, you had the thing with the $50 bill. A lot of people out here in alternative media, you know, especially YouTube research circles, really get into folding up the good old Federal Reserve notes and seeing some symbols and so forth.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the 50.
Well, you know, that's interesting. I was watching this video, and this guy was talking about when you fold it up, you got the Hoover Dam, and, it looks like it was busting and everything. And he said, what's strange is I found down here at the bottom the symbol for Cadillac, you know, the Cadillac emblem that you see on a car, right? Yeah. So, well, of course, movies that I know that I've watched that had Hoover Dam in it, so I turned to the movie Transformers. And the young guy, Shia LaBeouf, however you want to pronounce his name. So he's got that AllSpark, right? And he's being chased. And in the chase scene, he actually runs with the object in his hand and runs right into a Cadillac Escalade. But he hits the AllSpark right on the Cadillac emblem, right on it.
Interesting.
And guess what happens? All of a sudden, all of the stuff inside the car starts to come to life. So I'm like, well, wait a minute here. That means something. That is telling me something right there.
Well, you know, I've read some basically predictions that if that dam ever blew, It would just be such a massive loss of life, et cetera, et cetera. And that's right there in, you know, Jade Helm Central. You know, it's just an interesting thought to keep in the back of your mind. I don't know if they've got something planned for that Hoover Dam, but people have been talking about it for years.
Right. Oh, yeah, of course. Two of the movies that really kind of interest me in it, going back to Superman, the original movie, and you had Lex Luthor, who was planning on sabotaging, what's that in California, the fault, San Andreas Fault.
Yeah, San Andreas.
But what actually got hit first in the movie? It was the Hoover Dam, remember? Because that's where Johnny or whatever his name is, Olsen Kid, was there at the Hoover Dam. It got hit first. But in the movie San Andreas Fault that just came out, what got hit first? That's right, the Hoover Dam. And the movie was called San Andreas. So really weird that both of these movies are projecting like a hit on the Hoover Dam first before any kind of event takes place at the San Andreas Fault. Weird. But I think they might be telling us something.
All right, folks, we're going to another break, and then we got a long segment after the top of the hour. Incendiary Radio, republicbroadcasting.org. Folks, remember to donate to RBN, folks. I was on with John Friday, and things are getting real, real tight. So keep RBN on the air, folks. See you on the other side. We're back. Professor Doom is my guest. 7.5 million YouTube views. Covers a lot of ground, folks, and he keeps up on, you know, he's got his fingers in a lot of stuff, which I like, because I try to keep, you know, cognizant of all kinds of things going on. So let's talk about China, okay? And I covered this with some of my guests I've had in the last few weeks. These explosions in China, directed energy weapon, nuke, the city of Tianjin, where one of the world's fastest supercomputers is located. It gets a hole in it the size of what, like six blocks, city blocks. What do you think happened over there?
Well, I'm not buying the story that it was a chemical warehouse. I mean, really, an explosion that will leave a crater in the ground that big? I'm not buying that for a minute. But I seen all of the attempts of suppression by the Chinese government from actually revealing how many people died, or any kind of information regarding what the place was, so on and so forth. And it makes you question, like, are they like just biding? They knew exactly what happened, and they're just biding their time. You know, it's just not like you're going to come out and state, you know, I know you did it, United States, and we're coming after you. No, it's going to be much more slicker than that. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be too shocked if you saw like some weirdness happen. We've been seeing it though, haven't we? We've been seeing some weirdness going on here with alleged chemical plants just blowing up left and right over here. So I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if we see something happen, though, in China.
Did you look into this whole Rod of God weapon system that we supposedly hit them with, and that whole deal with China? I kind of covered that a couple weeks ago.
Right. I seen it in the movie. Like this, it's like this satellite-type platform.
Yeah.
It drops a projectile, and just from the speed of the drop, and it's like amazing how much destructive power this this artillery piece, you know, has. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So let's talk. Let's move on. Let's talk about the refugee assault on Europe. I mean, this is getting to the point where basically this is the clash of civilizations that all the creeps have been dreaming of for a couple centuries now. We're getting to watch it happen right now, and we're witnessing it here as well. But let's cover Europe and this forced migration. I mean, I've even been seeing this Soros WTEU group handbooks being handed out to these people. They basically, it's basically a guideline here. Here's the contact number to get on the dole. Here's how you get some housing. I mean, promising them blonde sex slaves. I mean, this is absolute insanity.
Yes. Well, excuse me. Here's the thing. As far as refugees coming over to the United States, you guys, and I know this is going to be an unpopular with some people because they're going to think it's like racist or I don't have any, consideration for what the problems are going through. But why would they want to come over here knowing that our government has destroyed so much in the Middle East? They know that they call us like evil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're scared to stay in Syria, but they want to come over here because they're not scared of Americans. Isn't it the one that you're accusing us of being, you know, destructive to your country? So why do you want to come over here en masse the way like that? Now all of a sudden you're bombarding Europe, and now you're calling what for, like Sharia law? You're demanding this. You're treating the cops over there like crap. You're beating people up. You're raping women. If anybody can't see that this was meant to absolutely destroy these countries, man, I cannot believe that there's people out there who can't see that.
You know, I think there's a whole other like psychological warfare angle to this as well, because you know I kind of dig into Islam a bit, and I think a lot of these, let's just say, heavyweight preachers in the Islamic world are actually agents, and I think that they're cranking up the refugees basically it's kind of like the old, you know, Moorish invasion of the Middle Ages, and I think that they're basically telling them to go up there, it's yours to take. Take it. This is to spread, you know, the faith, etc. And so they're winding up these useful idiots. And so that's why I think so many of them are coming up here. They're basically fighting age men. They're leaving their old ladies and kids at home. So what kind of man is that? They're coming up here, and then they think that they're going to basically topple Europe. And I think that they think this is basically one of these. It's like a God's will for them to come crush Europe and turn it Islamic, and I think they've been cranked up by some of these psychological operator imams and, you know, muftis and so forth and so on. I think there's some serious crap going on here.
Yeah, and who do you think is putting these imams up to instigating these people leaving their homeland and doing this? I mean, you're seeing these refugees now. I want to call them, we'll just stick with the refugees, but you know, they're calling for you know, Sharia law, and you know, they're talking about a Islamic state. Well, why in the hell didn't you join ISIS in Syria and topple the Assad regime? Because isn't that what ISIS is supposed to be trying to do? So if that's what you wanted, why didn't you just stay there and then take up arms with ISIS then for all that? No, of course not. You want to go over and topple Europe and spread Islam? Is that what this is all about?
Well, you're familiar with the Kalergi plan, right, for Europe, where basically this guy, one of the real fathers of the European Union, he talked about making the population of Europe a mixed race of Asians and blacks, and basically completely displacing, dispossessing and ultimately genociding the native populations for a more easily manageable state. You know, you got all this nationalist elements in Europe of the, you know, you got Germans and French and everybody else. They love their nations, and they basically want to wipe this out, man. And so it's basically an indigenous genocide of Europe, and it's painful to watch. You know, you know, those of us where, you know, this is where our people you know, came from originally, and to see that this. I mean, the Hungarian prime minister is talking about facing possibly 35 million of these people.
Right. Well, did you also listen to the Hungarian prime minister when he was saying, well, why aren't you staying in Turkey? None of the European countries are telling their citizens to not go, you know, for a tour stay in Turkey. But the United Nations is saying, no, 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 they can't stay in Turkey because there is kind of like this little war going on with Turkey and the Kurds, right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't make any sense because there's Europeans going over to Turkey to vacation all the time. So is it dangerous or not? So why aren't these Middle Eastern countries like Turkey, Saudi Arabia, all of these other countries, why ain't they taking in all of these refugees? Why does it seem like all, it's like you said, men of fighting age that seem to be flooding Europe? Well, I have reported on this several times. The website Deagle.com, which has been around for like 22 years, and a lot of the individuals who write books, like let's say Tom Clancy, they go to that site and get their information for their books. And the kind of information they provide is they accumulate all of the weapons and stuff like that, all of the names for tanks and all that for all of these countries that have a military, and they get all the information from the governments. Well, there happens to be one part in Deagle.com that has the projection for populations for countries by the year 2025.
Yeah.
And do you know what the population was for the United States in 2025?
Yeah, I think it goes down to like 100 and something million from 350.
By the year 2025, it's projected the United States will be 65 million people. In Europe, every single Europe nation that's Anglo-Saxon, we're talking Britain, Finland, Norway, Netherlands, they're all going to be decimated. All of them are going to be reduced down to a 16th of what they have now. So it makes you wonder, where the heck are they getting their information for what this projection is coming from? And considering that they claim to be getting all of this information from governments, it's making me think that, you know, they know something. You know what I mean? They got this is a big, huge plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And here's Wesley Clark, former Supreme Allied Commander. There's no place in modern Europe for ethnically pure states. That's a 19th century idea, and we are trying to transition into the 21st century, and we're going to do it with multi-ethnic states. And that's basically it right there. They're causing the collapse of these white countries. Like Sweden, my gosh, Sweden's on the brink of complete and utter chaos, and
Denmark too.
Yeah, and now Germany, which is the size of what one of our states, is supposed to absorb a couple hundred thousand of these people a year for as far as the eye can see.
Yep. Yeah, you know, it's a shame because the people who are there, perfectly innocent people, perfectly innocent, and they're being shamed by their very own government for what happened in the 1940s into taking these refugees. You know, we were bad. We, you know, our government was really bad to the world, so, you know, we need to be accepting of these refugees. And when they get there, all of a sudden, the refugees are raping, pillaging, murder. This is going to be hell. And you know, I feel bad for those people over there. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, I could just looking back at the Soviet model when the Cheka really came in, you know, with force and started the Red Terror, I really feel like we are very much like right on the cusp of a Red Terror, basically in Western Europe, the United States, Canada, Australia, basically worldwide in all traditionally white countries. I feel, and we see it happening already. South Africa is really the template. And so do you see things in the same kind of light, that we're basically going to face some sort of gulag style Red Terror? And that's why I think the population projections are the way they are, because they know that most of us are slated for basically extermination.
Right. If you look at the mind manipulation that's going on, let's just take the United States for a moment, and you notice how people's minds are being molded to accept the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, all that, you know, with all the bathroom stuff going on. And these people are being like, it's not giving you a choice. And the thing is I don't have anything against them. But when you're going to force it on our kids to be accepting of, you don't have to think that yourself as a boy if you're a boy. You know, you can think of yourself as a girl. That's not something that you teach them. You don't do that. You know, that's people's minds are being manipulated into, especially with the refugees coming in. It's like, they're going through all their problems over there and they need to come in. And so a lot of people, you know, they're saying, well, you know, we need to, be accepting and all this stuff. That's what they're doing. It's a mind manipulation thing. Do they even really need to come over here? That's the question. Are they really escaping something going on there? Is there other places for them to go that they would be more suitable for? If we, as being Christians, whites, whatever, and went over there and we started making demands, we would be killed in a heartbeat for making any kind of demands like that. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And they're going to come over here and start demanding that we need our own Sharia law courts. We need our own this, halal, that. And we would not get that kind of respect if we went over there. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, what's your thoughts on this? And I've been kind of really going back and forth with this one. This orchestrated clash of civilizations, you know, if you dig into the protocols and other documents where, you know, the writings of Lenin and Trotsky, basically they come out with this kind of thought: when the people need a hero, we shall supply him. And it's almost like they're going to give us this they're giving us this orchestrated clash of civilizations, this you know, we're right on the cusp of a basically white genocide worldwide. Do you see some sort of figure that's going to be presented to us? And I'm not talking about Donald Trump, but I can see he's kind of like the beginnings of that. Some figure they're going to give us, and he's not going to be our friend. And this is my real what really has me kind of apprehensive is like, yeah, they're gonna give us some hero figure, and this is going to be another person that's going to ultimately shaft us. Have you thought about that at all?
I have, and you know, for your listeners, think about it like this: if you ever watched like a TV show where you got like the good cop, bad cop, and the bad cop is just treating you like crap and just, you know, kind of like kicking on you or whatever, and all of a sudden the good cop comes in, but they're both working on the same side, right? And think about that. That's what's going to play out like this. We're going to get treated bad, and then they're going to present to you a good guy, and you are going to think it's all good. And I'm telling you, they're both going to be working on the same side. So just be mindful of that. That's how it's going to play out. Trump and all that, I'll tell you this, I don't even pay attention to all that. That's all rigged. That's all garbage. When you start seeing the exact same people, Roosevelt's, the Bushes, you know, Clintons, and they're keeping it all in the family. This is all, it's a racket. People aren't elected, they're selected. That's how it is. So,
yeah, I really see a lot of people getting taken down this Trump road, man, and they're already kind of like, people are already, you know, beaten down, and they're already, feel like there's no hope, and then they see this billionaire, this Anglo-Saxon billionaire who's been in bed with the New York syndicate all his life, and he throws him a few bones, and then, you know, so many people just jump on the bandwagon, like, yeah, this is our guy, and he's really going to turn things around. And it's like, man, he married his daughter off to one of these Kushners. You know, when you get into who he's got, Mr. Cohen is his main advisor. I mean, I don't know why people are so naive, and I know they're looking for a hero, and that's what we were just talking about. But my gosh, people are very simplistic, and they're getting taken down a road, I think, with this guy. Would you agree with that?
Well, if Trump was, I do, and if Trump was a real smart guy, he would know that. If you're coming in to buck the system, especially if you know how the system works, and you're not going to survive it, that would that'd be pretty crazy to think that you're going to come in and be able to do that. Two, you got to remember is that him being a businessman, you don't make it in the world of business without playing ball or scratching somebody's back. And later on, that back scratching is going to, you know, they're going to want it scratched back. So the thing is just because you think that the hero is, like I said, remember, good cop, bad cop, they're all on the same team. So just because you think he's the good guy doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. And they will use it to play you. They will play you.
Right? Yeah, well, a guy that's been on TV with this Apprentice thing all these years doing mainstream media, you have to know right there that, you know what I'm saying, that that's got to be a red flag. Yeah. And so, but we'll pick this up on the other side, sure. Folks. Professor Doom, we'll see you on the other side. Sunday nights. Let's see here. So, latest up on Professor Doom's YouTube. Arizona sniper labeled domestic terrorist, but what? And I've got a SHTF plan article up. Arizona sniper suspect. I'm the wrong guy. My gun's been in the pawn shop the last 2 months. What do you found out about this latest one down here in Arizona? I mean, there's so many of these things going on, it's hard to keep up with it. It just blows your mind.
Well, interesting is the you know, the label that they attach to the guy, right? It's
domestic terrorist.
Domestic terrorist, right?
Yeah.
And okay, so he's not a serial sniper, but what serial killer, right? He's not called a terrorist serial killer or a terrorist killer or nothing like that. So all of a sudden I started asking, well, why are they doing that? And
he's a white male.
That's of why. Of course. Right. Because he's a white male. It's war against the people. It's a war of the races right now. And that's when I came out in the video right there and I said, listen, I said, if you guys don't realize that there's a war between local governments and the federal government against the people, take, for instance, the civil asset forfeiture, right?
Yeah.
Why are they going after people and really putting you through hell, taking your money and making it very hard or making you spend lots of money to get your $13,000 back when it's going to cost like $20,000 in attorney's fees, right? So they're using all these tactics to do that. Well, think about this. The Sovereign Movement, when they were operating and using these liens against judges and stuff like that, the FBI came out and labeled them paper terrorists because they were using legal techniques under the Uniform Commercial Code to bring about these liens, right? Paper terrorism. So what does that make the cops and the local governments that are using this civil asset forfeiture to take your money without putting charges against you? Isn't that a form of terrorism against the citizens? Of course it is. Of course it is. This is a war right now.
Well, of course. And then when you, the mental rape that the rogue elements that actually control this government, that what they do to the population, I mean, it's just so horrible when you look at September 11th and all the internal jerks that were in on it, the PNAC boys. What they did to this country mentally, it's beyond words. You know, I just had Rebecca Roth on for 3 hours last week on the show, and we went through a lot of the nuts and bolts to 9/11, and what happened to this country on that day is so disgusting. But then when you really get down to the nitty-gritty and how long this operation had been planned, when you get into the decades,
oh my Lord, yes,
that's go ahead.
Oh, I was just talking to, I've actually did a show with Rebecca Roth, and I was just talking to her today about some issues regarding a potential false flag with uses of dirty bomb, low yield nuke, something like that. And yeah, I was just going to interview her here in the next couple days over that, because think about this. Really, the military is not going to implement some kind of martial law, or the military is not going to carry out those orders unless something huge happens. Something huge has to happen for them to even think about it. Remember with Hurricane Katrina, remember how bad it was in that local area for like New Orleans?
Yeah.
And what happened? Yeah, that's right. You had National Guard and police force come out there and start taking people's guns, right?
And some Blackwater boys.
That's right. That's right.
All right, we got another break, and we got a long segment on the other side of the break. We'll pick this up on the other side. Incendiary Radio with Professor Doom. 7.5 million views on YouTube. Incendiary Radio, Sunday nights. So we got the last half hour with Professor Doom. Where you want to go next, man?
Well, I mean, we kind of were talking about CERN at one moment. We had intermission, and you know, all I could really tell people out there is, if you really think about it, just a little over 100 years ago, we had steam powered locomotives. Now we're talking about bullet trains and technology that we can't even begin to understand where these governments have acquired it from. So with CERN, and you're talking about antimatter and particle collisions and stuff like that, and they're going to tell you that we're looking for the Big Bang theory or you know the God particle. Mm-hmm. Don't believe everything they tell you. Don't believe everything they tell you, because there's a lot of hints that this, we're talking about portals that could be open for a time portal, basically.
Yeah. Now let me throw this at you, because this is, I've kind of got CERN as kind of like this multi-layered, let's say, experiment. Okay. Mm-hmm. Time travel, opening portals for entities to be able to traverse through.
Right.
The creation of antimatter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got all these various things here, you know, and then people talk about the bottomless pit, of course, from Revelation, because the location of CERN is actually on this former site of a temple dedicated to Apollyon, which is mentioned in the book of Revelation, coming up out of the bottomless pit. And this is kind of more or less on the portal type thing to basically open up this biblical bottomless pit. It's pretty fascinating. You know, where the Bible talks about the part of the demonic host was put in chains until the final judgment. And a lot of people are out there saying basically these creeps running CERN are basically wanting to unchain this part of the angelic host and free them. Have you gotten into that sort of stuff?
Oh, have I? Yeah. Well, let me tell your listeners this. I have studied Greek mythology, Roman mythology. I have studied Freemasonry. And for the people out there who don't know anything about, let's take Baalbek in Lebanon, for instance. And if you look at all of the legends that come from the Arabic legends of who built Baalbek, and you see that it was Cain. And a race of giants were staying there at Baalbek. Cain built that place for his son Enoch. Okay? Now, check this out. Watch this. The Freemasons at the third level of Master Mason, they have this password that they say to each other, and it is, who was Tubal Cain? And the answer, the reply is supposed to be the pagan god Vulcan. Well, if you look at the line of Cain, biblical-wise, you will see that Tubal Cain was the artificer of all metals. He was the teacher of metalworking, right? Well, Vulcan was the pagan god who created the metal weapons that he gave to Jupiter or Zeus and his brothers, Hades and, you know, Pluto, whichever one mythology you want to look at. So then I was like, okay, well, this is pretty interesting, because that would mean that Enoch is none other than Zeus Jupiter, and he's none other than Osiris, and he's none other than Abraxas. Well, guess what? The Romans, when they built the temple up on top of Baalbek, guess what they called it? Baal Jupiter. Why would they name it Baal Jupiter when it was supposed to be built by Cain for his son Enoch? And just like I said, it's because Enoch is none other than Jupiter, who is none other than Zeus, who is none other than Osiris. So now when we start talking about CERN opening up the pit, do you remember the whole story, the Greek mythology, about the Titans that battled against the Olympic gods? The Olympic gods defeated the Titans. Where did the Titans go? They were locked up in chains, just like your Bible tells you.
Mm-hmm.
Who was running the last golden age? Kronos, Zeus's father. If Zeus Jupiter is none other than Enoch, then who was Enoch's father? Cain. He is none other than Kronos Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
And in case you guys haven't noticed, it is Saturn who is believed to be the original god of the Jews. A lot of historians even mention that. El Kronos. Okay? El Saturn. So,
and now hence the Sabbath being on the sixth
Saturday.
Day of the week. Saturday, yes.
Right. See, you're still picking up. But so guess what? If Baal Jupiter is none other than one and the same as Osiris and Enoch, now you can understand why the Jews started worshiping Baal Zeus, right? Baal Jupiter. Because originally their god was none other than the father, Cain Kronos. So when Zeus Jupiter defeated his father and they cast him in chains into the underworld or whatever you want to call it, the Jews started worshiping Baal, his son. And if you look at the story behind Baal, he was actually killed by his brother, just like in the Egyptian story of Osiris being killed by Set, right? Mm-hmm. Remember? So the whole stories match up perfectly. Now, here's something else that's interesting that I found, is that Baal, Zeus, Jupiter is none other than the son of Enki, the god Enki, right? Mm-hmm. So who was Enki's son? Marduk, right? Now we have a huge problem, because that means that Enki is none other than Cain, Kronos, Saturn. Now, do you remember the crop circle that just popped up here not too long ago talking about the god Enki, right? Do you see that?
The last one I saw was the Black Sun that somebody sent me. That was an interesting one, but go ahead.
Right. Well, there was another crop circle that was mentioning the god Enki. And I think a lot of people believe that Enki was the good guy, right? Because he actually saved mankind. Well, if you guys... Well,
it's Enki and Enlil, right? Those are the two in that pantheon. What was that, the ancient Sumerians or Akkadians?
Right, yeah, right. This, well, there's the Sumerians, Babylonians, because
okay.
in one he was called Enki, and the other one he was called Ea.
Okay.
Lord Earth is Enki, and Ea is the Lord of the Waters. But the thing is people have been misled to believe that Enki was the good guy, because he went and told Utnapishtim, Zeezudra, to build a boat because it was going to be a flood. But the whole thing was, it had nothing to do with mankind being saved whatsoever. It was Zeezudra, his name means wise, just like Homo sapiens means wise, right? Sapien means wise man, right? So the whole thing was, it had nothing to do with saving mankind. It had to do with saving his creation, that one specific creation. Because the Sumerian tablets will tell you that the first created beings were from the blood of the Ajiji gods. The Ajiji were used as slaves. The Enzu, he rebelled. They killed him, took his blood, which, believe it or not, is the exact same symbol for the Omega symbol, for, you know, the letter Omega, the Greek letter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they take the blood and they create a human being. It was Enki that went behind his brother's back and took that and mixed it with Anunnaki deity and created the Homo sapiens. When that happened, Enlil wanted to destroy them. And that's who Enki / Cain / so-and-so Kronos had saved. And Berossus, he will tell you that the person who had warned, I can't remember, it starts with an X, but he warned him that a flood was coming and told him to build an ark. It was Kronos is the one who had gave the warning. So all of my research was telling me that Kronos, Cain, and Enki are all one and the same. How is that possible? Does that mean that Adam and Eve really are Gaia and Uranus from the Greek story? Does that mean that they are actually Anu and his wife in the Sumerian story? It starts getting really crazy. It really does.
So let's tie it back up with CERN.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You have the Hermetic Order, the Golden Dawn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their whole mission was to ensure that the god Kronos comes back to rule in the Golden Age. Now, did anybody see the game Fallout where they were showing the billboard in the game that said Helios 1 and Poseidon? Well, if you notice who Helios 1 is, that's the god Ra. Well, Ra is the father of Osiris. So who is Osiris? Zeus, Jupiter. So Ra is none other than Cain, Kronos, Saturn, right? So you'll start to understand that they are trying to bring back Kronos. That's who they're trying to bring back with CERN, because it was Zeus who defeated him and put him in chains with the rest of the Titans, just like you see in the Bible, talking about the pit and the chains and all that. All the stories match up perfectly.
So the link between CERN activity and some of this seismic activity, these pretty big 8-point-some-odd earthquakes we've been seeing on the very days that they crank up CERN. And then I just saw something today where people are hypothesizing that somehow when they crank CERN up, that it could actually draw objects toward the Earth. What do you think about all these this kind of chatter floating about?
Well, I seen that, and it's interesting because when I looked at I use movies for clues. I do, and some people think that it's kind of ridiculous even doing that, but I do. And when I looked at the movie Transformers: Age of Extinction, and that was what the whole premise of the movie was to draw the planet, bring it closer, and what did they do? They started attacking humans because they were going to use them as slaves. And anybody who didn't go along with it, what did they do? They started killing them randomly, right? Yeah. Well, that was all about drawing a planet closer to Earth. Is that all about drawing an asteroid, or is it really about bringing Nibiru closer, if Nibiru is real? Some people out there may say that it's not. But the other thing that I wanted to say, too, that I almost forgot, you were talking about the Black Sun. For your listeners out there who don't know the whole Nazi Black Sun thing, that was about preparing the Aryan race for the return of the gods in the Age of Aquarius. Well, everybody, you just saw that crop circle of the Black Sun. We are in the Age of Aquarius. Now, all you have to wonder is, what gods are they talking about? Are they talking about the Titan gods in the abyss? Are they talking about the gods that may be returning on the planet Nibiru? Or are they talking about both? Well, that's, it remains to be seen, I guess.
Yeah, and so we've got a few days, and with so many people setting the dates, and I kind of tend to backtrack. Even though, the predictive programming is so strong with 9/23 and even 9/23/15, in a lot of these movies, some of these people have really just pulled this number out of so many sources. It's kind of freaky. And then looking back on 9/11, as you say, with Terminator 2, 9'11", caution, where Schwarzenegger and the kid are going under that tunnel. In The Matrix, Mr. Anderson, Neo's passport expiring on September 11th, 2001. When you look back onto when I show people that really are 9/11 skeptics, and I show them the predictive programming from movies, I found that that's one of the most effective ways to make somebody really freak out and say, hey, wait a minute, that's impossible. Well, go ahead.
Yeah. Once you try to show them the Illuminati playing cards, from Mr. Jackson, when he came out with them in like 94, 95, and he's got, images of the Pentagon being struck. He's got images of the Twin Towers coming down. But then you have to explain to them all about the Illuminati, too, because a lot of people don't even understand exactly how huge that is, right?
Yeah.
So the whole thing about the 9/11, take this for instance. You brought up Terminator. What exactly is a 9'11" warning sign being right there when it's not even for traffic? That's all about water flume right there.
Yeah.
Well, so why the hell do you have that number there when there's no traffic going to be using
it? And it also says caution, 9'11". But yeah, right. but the passport expiring in The Matrix, which came out in the 1990s on the very day 9/11 goes down, is just the statistical probabilities there are just off the charts. I don't know how many zeros would be behind your 1 to the,
Right. To the 200th power.
I found that that's a pretty effective way to convince somebody. And, even Super Tramp's Breakfast in America from 1979, this is how long this was, and a lot of people don't know that the Pentagon The cornerstone was laid on September 11th, 1941, 60 years to the day. And then Daddy Bush's two speeches in front of the Congress, his two New World Order speeches, happened to be on September 11th as well. I mean, there's so much out there. You know, and you can tie into the Dog Star and everything with Sirius that ties in with 9/11. I mean, it goes so deep that go ahead.
Yeah. See, and I would tell everybody, it doesn't matter what we believe. It's they're all into this. This is their thing, you know, esoteric, whatever the, you know, the numerologies, you know, and look at when what's her name, Christine Lagarde came out, and I picked that apart. Everybody was like saying she was like trying to teach her numerology. I go, no, that's not what this is about. She was telling you about the pyramid that was found in Crimea. Was it been looking for years? None other than Abraxas Osiris. She was saying, see, according to the Freemasons and the Night Star, God, they should other than Abraxas, who they claim is the only genie that can interact with humans, right? Interestingly, yeah. In her speech, she goes, oh, inflation let the genie out of the bottle. And she was talking about the number seven and the magical number seven. And seven is very important in religions and stuff like that. Well, it just so happens that the number seven is associated with Abraxas. So she was trying to tell the people what this was all about. Who did they find? Who are they trying to bring back? There are factions on this planet right now that are trying to bring back two individuals. One of them is Abraxas slash Zeus, and the other one is none other than the Titan god Kronos to rule in the Golden Age, this new Golden Age.
Yeah, it's you know, it's fascinating when you get into the esoteric side of all this. And so we're going to come up on break in a second. So let's kind of tie things up.
Sure. We're screwing, don't give up your guns. I'm just, hey, I can tie it. Any old telling you straight, it's, you know, we're invited. And I hope none of you guys give up your guns. We'll get back into that after the break. I'll explain myself on that.
All right, cool. We'll see you. We'll final segment with Professor Doom. And then I got John Friend coming up at the top of the hour, folks. Professor Doom. Check him out on YouTube, Professor Doom 1 and Professor Doom 2. So let's wrap it up, man. I'd like to have you back sometime in the future. We can see what happens.
Emerin. Yeah. Yeah, you know, this is for all your listeners. I think about what I'm about ready to tell you. You have a government that's trying to tell you that ISIS wants to work its way into the United States, and they tell you that they have terrorist cells already here. But at the same time as they're telling you that, they are perpetrating hoaxes to get the American public to rally up to change the gun laws, right? Gun control. Yeah. It's all about gun control. Now, how are you going to tell us that ISIS wants to attack American citizens and leave us defenseless all at the same time? If you have people dying left and right anyway, and you have police forces out there who are not able to protect those people, then what are people got to look forward to if ISIS was really to unleash? Is it possibly that ISIS is waiting for the gun control laws to come through and people start losing their guns and then they make their move? Well, then where are you going to be left with? I would rather fight my own government to keep my rights than to sit there and lose my guns and have whoever, who knows who they, it could be ISIS could be fake, and they could come through and attack you, and you're thinking it's ISIS. I don't know.
Well, you know, everybody deserves and has, if they're not willing to have the means to protect themselves at the most basic level, which is you and how far you can see, there's a problem with me. And it's like, you know, we use these ISIS goons who's full of Saudi prisoners, Mossad boys, CIA contractors, and the whole nine yards to overthrow these other countries with some of the best leaders in the Middle East, like Assad, and then they try to play the fear porn on us back home with the same gangs they created to destabilize the Middle East. That's the real sick thing to me. Go ahead.
Yes. No. You're right. You're right. It's just, I'm telling you, it's a war on the minds of the people. They did it with 9/11. We were attacked by 19 Arab terrorists, and you know what? Everybody, what did they do? That's right. Americans rallied behind the troops, get over there and kick their ass for what they did to us. And you know, the powers that be are going, this worked out great, didn't it?
Let the heroin start flowing, and we'll get all the kids hooked.
Exactly. And I'm telling you, it's a mind manipulation game. They will use the shock and awe of all these hoaxes, where you will be begging them to come and take the guns away, because little kids were killed in a school when it didn't even really happen. And that's the kind of mind games that they will play on you.
Yeah, yeah. And what's really freaky is the now the frequency of these operations has really stepped up to where it's coming like every few days there seems to be a new one. And so that's how I really think that the apex moment is around the corner. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, man. It's been great to have you, man.
Glad you had me.
All right. We'll try to have you back on in a couple weeks, and we'll try to sort out whatever's coming our way.
All right, buddy.
All right. See you, man.
All right.
My guest for this hour is John Friend, the guy behind TheRealistReport.com, who I've interviewed on the program a couple times. Well, John has been through some things. He got hired by the city of Escondido, California, which I'm familiar with. I used to live in Oceanside back when I was a young, dumb Marine. And so I'm familiar with Escondido. It's a nice little town. And so John was on the front of Jeff Rentz's website for a couple days. Welcome to the program, John.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on again. It's always always nice speaking with you.
Yeah, you too. So break it down, man. Somebody trolled you at your job and told people about your website, and then they gave you the axe, because the only person that can't have an opinion is a white person. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, man. Well, you know, I'm still trying to figure out all the details of what exactly happened, you know, what led up to the termination. I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say, I mean, I can't 100% say this for a fact, but I think the city discovering my website and my political views was, you know, the key factor in their decision to terminate my employment. And I'll kind of get into some of the details. Let me first just start off by saying that I began working for the city in a part-time capacity. And the city of Escondido, well, Escondido itself is a city of about 150,000 people just north of San Diego, California. So it's in San Diego County. It's the hub of North County, basically. It's inland. You mentioned you lived out in Oceanside, and Camp Pendleton is just north of Oceanside, and Escondido is just east of Oceanside. So it's in North San Diego County. It's a pretty big city, pretty nice city, like you said. You know, there's some cool things going on in Escondido. But I began working for the city in a part-time capacity about a year and a half ago. I want to say it was September or October of 2013, and I worked in the recreation department, just, you know, as I said, in a part-time capacity. I was mostly working with adult sports, adult recreation sports. We had some softball leagues that I managed, and, you know, I also helped out at the counter and, you know, just, you know, did all sorts of random things for the recreation department. You know, it was a pretty basic job. I did that part-time, and then about 3 months ago, I accepted a full-time position in the city manager's office. And the city manager is basically the head of the city, like the CEO of the city, you know, you could kind of compare it to. All the department heads report to him. The city manager works directly with the city council and with the mayor, you know, for policy advice, for anything relating to the operation of the city, and things of that nature. So I was working in this office. It was a very clerical, sort of customer service administrative type position. You know, I was definitely not, you know, formulating and implementing city policy or anything like that. So it was a very entry-level type position. And, you know, it was a great job. I had a really good time when I was there. You know, when I was working for the recreation department, I had a great experience. It was a lot of fun, actually. And, you know, working in a full-time capacity was great. I got to meet a lot of people. I met, you know, obviously the mayor and the city council, the city manager, and a lot of the other department heads and, you know, sort of some of the most important people in the city. So it was great. You know, I had a great experience. And how it worked basically was, you know, Monday, September 7th was Labor Day, so nobody was at work. City Hall was closed. I had a family emergency, and I knew that I was not going to be able to come to work the next day. I had never, like, called in sick or anything like that since I got hired.
Right.
And I texted my supervisor, and I told her, I said, hey, you know, it's going to be very tough for me to make it to work. Do you mind if, you know, I just use a sick day? And she said, no problem. I mean, we had a good relationship. She was totally fine with it. She, you know, said, no problem. You know, we'll see you Wednesday. Hope everything's okay. So I didn't go to work on Tuesday, September 8th. That afternoon, I'm sitting at home, and I get an email from a guy. He's a reporter for the San Diego Union Tribune.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And, yeah, the guy's name is J. Harry Jones. Mm-hmm. He covers North County. He covers Escondido. He covers the city I live in. It's called Poway. And he covers other cities, you know, in North County. So this guy emailed me, and he was basically what's about my website and the fact that I work in the office. He said that he contacted the city and was, you know, seeking a statement, seeing if I was still employed. He wanted to know if the city knew about my website, you know, things of that nature, basic questions. And he told me that he wanted to interview me. You know, he saw my website, some of my writings, and he thought that they were very controversial. And, you know, he wanted to talk about it. And I wasn't able to talk to this guy. He just sent me an email. You know, it's to my personal Gmail account, which is associated with my website.
Right.
And, you know, I wasn't able to talk on Wednesday morning, which was Wednesday, September 9th. And, you know, I get to work about 7:30 every day. I went in and I immediately approached my supervisor, and I was going to tell her about this reporter that contacted me. And I, you know, I approached her and I said I had to talk to her about something, and she said, okay, you know what, let's talk in a few minutes. You know, maybe 10 minutes later, I was called into a conference room.
Oh, boy.
With her, with the director of human resources, the assistant city manager. And I was working pretty closely with the assistant city manager, who's right underneath, you know, he's like the number two guy at the city.
Right.
So she basically told me that I was terminated. She would not elaborate on the reasons of my termination. She said that her decision to terminate my employment was not up for discussion, and then the director of human resources, that I could either accept the termination and resign in lieu of termination. I officially resigned, and I signed the paperwork, which was just, it was just a letter saying, hey, I'm resigning, and she signed a letter stating that she accepted my resignation. And that was that. I did tell them that the reporter had contacted me and that I did plan on speaking with him at some point. And, you know, she told me that her decision really didn't have anything to do with this reporter. It didn't really have anything to do with my website.
Yeah, right.
Which I find very hard to believe. Yeah, I mean, exactly. Like, you know, this guy contacts the city the very next day I'm being fired, you know.
And
up to then, you know, and in this article, this guy wrote an article for the San Diego Union Tribune about this, which I'm assuming you read, and, you know, a lot of people have read it. There's a lot of good comments. Almost all of the comments, last time I checked, there was over 200 comments, and almost all of them were in favor of me, saying that this was wrong, that the city fired me and, you know, forced me out of my position, and, you know, were agreeing with me, basically. And a lot of people were bringing up issues relating to my website, saying, oh, the Jews did do 9/11. Holocaust is a hoax, and, you know, et cetera. Jews do run the media. So, you know, people were supporting me and saying it was wrong for the city to let me go like that. And they were also, you know, elaborating on the points that I make on my website, which I thought was very good. And this guy who wrote this article, we might want to go through it at some point during our conversation here. The guy who wrote it, I mean, it was a pretty fair article. I mean, he did throw out the word anti-Semitic, and he also threw out the word white supremacist. Uh-huh. Other than that, you know, everything was pretty fair. I mean, he accurately stated my views, the two main points that I make on my website and that I write about and talk about, and that is, you know, as I said, the fact that Israel and an international network of Jewish criminals were responsible for planning and executing 9/11, and they blamed it on Muslims to kickstart the fraudulent global war on terrorism. And he makes that very clear in this article published in the San Diego Union Tribune. He also talks about how I claim that the Holocaust is a false and inaccurate interpretation of history. Mm-hmm. That's like a direct quote from this guy, which is demonstrably true. You know, the Holocaust is a total lie. It's one of the biggest lies of all time. And it's been used to demonize Germany and the all white people. You know, the Jews openly claim that, you know, the Germans were guilty of the Holocaust, but America and Britain and France and, you know, other white nations were just as responsible because they, quote unquote, you know, let it happen and they didn't do enough to help the Jews. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's a total insult.
Well,
he makes it clear in this article that he wrote that I do believe that. And he doesn't condemn me for it. He doesn't say I'm wrong. He doesn't say I'm right. But anybody with a critical mind, you know, that's interested in trying to figure out what I'm saying and why I'm saying these things, they could easily confirm this by just going online and you know, doing some research on their own. And I hope and I pray that, you know, thousands of people did that. So,
yeah. Now, here's what fascinates me. And even if, let's say, let me put a Jewish person, for you to say your views, while, you know, I've worked in government before, and I've worked right alongside with somebody that was a member of the Nation of Islam. Now, they believe that white people were created by an evil black scientist named Yaqub, of these 24 black elders that govern the universe. And so they believe white people are devilish. But yet, nobody's going to fire, I guarantee you, in this city, if there's a Nation of Islam employee, they're not going to fire a person, or they're not going to fire a member of the National Council of La Raza, which means the race. See, the only person that's going to get fired in this kind of Orwellian system we live in is a white person with controversial views. And this is the crux of the matter. And this is why I wanted to bring you on, to really focus in on the point that you could belong to the black Hebrew Israelites, you could belong to anything you want, any kind of radical group that's considered minority, and they're not going to have a problem with it. But see, you being a white guy, John, and you basically calling out 9/11 for basically the Kosher Nostra being the orchestrators of 9/11, both internally and externally, And then, you know, having your views about World War II, that's enough for them to just fire you without even talking to you. You see, they feel safe doing that because you're white.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. And I mean, radical feminists, you know, they can create websites and go on and on about how they hate men, hate men especially. You know, homosexual activists can do the same. But yeah, you're right. I mean, as soon as a white person, a Christian white person, you know, tries to do this thing, tries to simply, you know, exercise his First Amendment rights and express his, you know, again, as you said, controversial political and historical perspectives. Controversial yet entirely well-founded and scholarly, you know,
documented. I just meant controversial to the TARDIS sphere out here.
No, I understand. Yeah. I understand exactly what you're saying. And you're right. I mean, and you know, I tell people that. I'm like, hey, look, and by the way, in this article, and he makes this clear, and this is true, he makes it clear that, you know, I did not talk about my views at work. I was not, you know, trying to convert people to this cause or anything like that. In fact, it even says in the article that I was very well liked in the office.
Right. I'm looking at it right here.
Yeah.
No one in the office had complained about you, and he was unaware of any complaints emanating from outside public relating to your work performance. So basically, right, you weren't bringing any of this into your official capacity, but, you know, it's similar to some of these people getting fired for Facebook. Good old Mark Zuckerberg's little outfit. And Facebook has been actually calling law enforcement on people for some of their views, which is really sick. You get into this kid from, I think it was Virginia. He was a former Marine named Brandon Robb. He just posted things on Facebook, and he got locked up, thrown in a mental asylum.
Right. Yeah, I remember that. That was outrageous. Yeah, and speaking of that, I'm actually working on an article right now that's going to be – it should be published in – next week's edition of American Free Press. I'm writing an article about this police chief who basically resigned. I mean, he retired.
Oh, yeah, the Black Lives Matter stuff. Yeah.
I mean, he officially retired. I mean, he was basically forced out of his job after making, a Facebook post saying that the Black Lives Matter movement is, I think he called it a terrorist organization.
He basically equated them with domestic terrorists.
Right, and you know, I read what he had to say a couple days ago, and the guy is really pretty much spot on as far as I can tell. I think it's pretty clear that the Black Lives Matters movement was, you know, largely funded or is largely funded by George Soros, a radical Jewish anti-white Marxist.
And these REVCOM, Revolutionary Communist Organizations, which if you really get into communism, it cannot exist in a constitutional republic because it's for the overthrow of the very republic in which it operates in. And so that's the thing about communism. It's for violent overthrow of the existing order. And so that's a terrorist organization.
Communism is a means for Jews to expropriate the capital and the property of the goyim, and that's the way communism has always been implemented and, you know, institutionalized in the West. Not in the West, but just in the world in general. And in America, what we see is not really the radical, in-your-face, violent overthrow of the government like we saw in Russia. It's more of a cultural communism, and, you know, political correctness is tied to this. And also, I mean, that's not to say that there isn't violence being, you know, carried out on behalf of, you know, communist agendas in America. I think, you know, the black-on-white crime is an example of that. But in America, what we see is, non-whites and minorities, homosexuals, to advance their communist agenda. They're using these people. And they've always been, the Jews have been behind the civil rights movement, the homosexuality movement, you name it. All of these radical, anti-white, anti-Christian, anti-Western, political and cultural movements have been led and financed, championed by Jews. This is very well known, very easily documented. But that's what we in the West is. We see the Jews using these minorities to tear down and to destroy and to divert Western Christian civilization. And that, you know, that's what we see with the welfare program. I mean, the welfare program is basically a Jewish expropriation of white people's capital and giving it to these blacks and, you know, giving it to the government and to pay off these bureaucrats and whatnot. That's exactly what it is. That is communism right there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
This it's a redistributionist scheme basically for social engineering, and it's basically eventually to displace, dispossess, and ultimately genocide out the whites is what it really is there for. And while the people running the system basically remain, they make themselves exempt from it, and that's what's really disgusting. Is it when you look at the Soviet Union, the guys in the Politburo, they're running around eating caviar in Mercedes Benzes, and the people are standing in bread lines. This is communism.
Communism has always been a scam. It really has. You know, it's presented as this movement to liberate the workers of the world. When in reality, all it does is enslave the workers further and create this deracinated, totally materialistic, totally demoralized slave class with Jews running the show and collecting all the money and essentially getting away with any crime that they want to commit. That's what we saw in Russia. That's basically what we see in America. They've used a different strategy, obviously. Cultural Marxism has been key, but also, look at international finance in our banking establishment. Totally run by Jews. Totally. Look at the Federal Reserve. It's been run by Jews for decades now. And really, from the very beginning, it was a Jewish scheme to monopolize credit and to place banking system in this country. And,
what fascinates me is, because I know a couple Jewish people that are completely, let's just say, a lot of them get kept on the basically supremacist plantation. See, that the quote in the protocol really is apt. It says, "We shall use anti-Semitism for the management of our lesser brethren," to where basically they keep the Jewish people that aren't part of the conspiracy on the plantation by having them always scared of regular old people like you and I, because that's just an effective way to manage the herd, and the herd is half of them as well, and that's the thing. We need more Benjamin Friedman's and Norm Finkelstein's and the rest of them to come off of this plantation, or it's never gonna. I don't see how it's gonna fall.
Yeah, exactly. I
think that's the break, though. Hold tight for a second.
Okay,
we'll pick it up on the other side of the break. John Friend of the realistreport.com. I'm gonna read the article real quick. John wants me to read the article, and this is in the San Diego Union Tribune. Okay, Escondido, a 29-year-old clerical employee in the Escondido city manager's office, was forced out of his job this week after city officials learned he operates an anti-Semitic website and is active in a movement that blames Jews for the 9/11 terror attacks. Well, I got a stack of books.
Yeah, I was going to say really quick. Yeah, I got a stack of books documenting that as well, and a whole website dedicated to it. But yes. I was going to say, I should note that this article was actually published in the print edition of the San Diego Union Tribune on September 11th, on the day of 9/11. You know, the anniversary of 9/11.
Wow, that's kind of eerie.
Right, and this reporter put that right in the very first sentence. Active in a movement.
Oh, yeah. He false flagged you.
Well, again, think about this. Think about people, people in the city that knew me, and other people that know me in San Diego and whatnot. They're going to read that and be like, "Oh my gosh! Like, I know John. Why would John?" And if they don't know this already, and no one at the city knew this, at least very few people knew about my political views and my website. They're going to read that and be like, "Oh my goodness! Why would John say that Jews were responsible for 9/11?" Maybe they'll go on the internet and try to find out why I would say that.
Yeah, well, I got Christopher Bolin's works, one of the best ones out there, Solving 9/11, The Deception That Changed the World, and I got another one called 9/11 Enemies Foreign and Domestic by Edward Hendry. Holy cow, that book, and I got all Victor's, and I got a bunch of books.
It's very clear that it's Jewish criminals and provided it.
It was a worldwide Jewish mob hit is what it was, and most Jewish people weren't responsible. They didn't know any more than I did, but there was this clique of high-level Kosher Nostra criminals that pulled the hit off, and you know, the Project for a New American Century boys and that whole gang in the Pentagon, and then the, you know, Homeland Security before it was created, Michael Chertoff in the Justice Department covered up a lot of it, you know, through the FBI. It was sick, but go ahead.
That's all very well said. I totally agree. But I just wanted to make the point that I thought it was amazing that he put that in the very first sentence of this article on 9/11.
Yeah.
You know, so that's going to get a lot of people's heads turning, like, whoa, yeah, why would this guy say this?
Yeah, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, we had this terrorist. We were working right next to him day in and day out. We didn't even know that he was some sort of a radical white, you know, terrorist. And that's basically right. They wanted to paint you as some sort of evil white person that you know, wanted to blame this Jewish criminal network with no evidence for 9/11 when the evidence is overwhelming. It's just that you have to find it.
Well, yeah, you're right. There may be some people that think that, you know, that's sort of their knee-jerk reaction. But the people that know me, I definitely do not fit that stereotype, man. Like, I got along well with a lot of people at the city, and, you know,
I was a very
responsible professional person. Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, people were probably shocked that, you know, oh my gosh, he has this website. But they know me, and they know I'm not some crazy, you know, white supremacist or something. I mean, a lot of people know about my daughter. You know, I have friends that are non-white and whatnot. I mean, you kind of have to, living in the world that we live in.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, it's not anything like, you know, I don't like hate other races or anything like that. I'm just trying to state some facts openly. So people are going to see this and hopefully look into what I'm saying and, you know, get on board with what we're doing here and, you know, the truths that we're trying to communicate to the world. Because, damn it, somebody's got to say these things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to be the one to do it. You know, there's many others doing it as well. But, I mean, I just feel this drive. I have to do this. You know, I just feel so strongly about these things. And, again, I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't know I was right about this stuff. And, if I couldn't back up what I'm saying, I'd shut my mouth.
I hear you. So let's continue with the article. Poway resident John Friend was hired by Escondido about 3 months ago as a division coordinator, which is responsible for a variety of administrative duties in the city manager's office, including supervising support staff and helping develop office policies and procedures, according to the city's website. City officials said they were unaware at the time that Friend is an outspoken blogger and contributed to several white supremacist publications. That's interesting. Let's pick that up on the other side.
Yep, there's
white supremacist publications. Yep. Interesting.
Exactly.
All right, we'll pick that up on the other side.
Sounds good.
I got John Friend. He runs the realistreport.com. And by the way, I wanted to throw this out there. He's got a crowdfunding campaign going on. And so you want to talk about that real quick and we'll get back to the article.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the details are right there on my website, right at the very top. I put up a brief article about it. Yeah, and I set up an Indiegogo fundraiser. As I'm sure you're aware, PayPal totally banned me from using their services a while ago. It was probably close to a year ago, and they did this to a number of other people.
Yeah.
You know, that write about similar subjects as I do and maintain websites, you know, for expressing similar points of view.
Yeah, so I wonder if the Nation of Islam or any of the other gangs out there have ever gotten their PayPal yanked. No, that's another thing. That's only white people that'll happen to, folks. This is the disenfranchisement of your people in your own land. And we're sitting here watching it happen. And I was talking to John off the air. He's basically, it's a canary in the coal mine in the United States. Basically, whites can be targeted by the power structure because they made victim group A, B, C, or D mad. And then guess what? You lose your job. You lose everything. And we're going to get into Ann Coulter in a second. But let's finish the article. Where were you at real quick? Where were you going to go
Oh, no, no, you can. I was just mentioning the fundraiser. I said,
oh, yeah, that's right.
You can,
that's right.
Anybody that's listening, they can just go to my website and find the details right at the very top of the page. So if you want to help me out, it'd be greatly appreciated. I also have a P.O. box. I know a lot of people are kind of skeptical of donating anything online. So if you want to send anything to my P.O. box, it's right there on my website. And then also, there's a link right to the Indiegogo, fundraiser. I'm trying to raise $2,000. I'm at like $1,300 right now.
Awesome.
Hopefully we can get to 2,000 or maybe even more. You know, that'd be awesome, and you know, that'll help me get through the next month or so and figure out what I'm going to do. Which I'm most certainly, you know, not going anywhere. You know, this is something I've dedicated my life to, and frankly, we need people that are doing this stuff full time because we are absolutely in a war, an information war at this point, and also a physical war in some cases. I mean, you know, I'm not saying anybody needs to go out and violently confront anybody, but you know, everybody should be able to defend themselves, certainly. And you know, I'd like to be a part of this. I think I have some important things to say, so you know, that's what I plan on doing.
Right on. Well, yeah, it's going physical in Europe right now, and it's already been physical in South Africa, and so
right. Europe is absolutely getting flooded with immigrants, but so is America. I mean, we're having it's maybe not as dramatic, and the media isn't playing it up as much as in Europe. And the context and situation might be a little bit differently, but both of our countries, the white race, period, anywhere in the world is under attack. We are having a war being waged against us, and a lot of people don't even recognize this. I mean, that's the sad thing. It's like we're in a war, and we got the Jews. They got their, they got all their organizations and their groups, and they got their Jewish state of Israel and their army and their military. You know, all these other countries have their own militaries and political parties and whatnot. All these other ethnic groups in the West and America, they all have their political parties and their political groups. And white people are sitting here, you know, in a war they don't even know they're in. They don't even have, they haven't even fielded a team to compete in this war. I mean, it's ridiculous. This is freaking absurd, man.
Well, and then you got this expansionist state of Israel. It's really this greater Israel that's being created, the Israeli Empire that Moshe Dayan talked about in the 1950s. And basically, they're ejecting the indigenous population from all the places where greater Israel wants to expand, and they're dumping them on the white countries. It's really what's happening.
Yep, exactly. And meanwhile, in the West, especially in America, but also in Europe, the Jewish media is telling us that we need to be waging war against the Muslims. We need to be, you know, invading these countries, occupying these countries, destroying these countries. On the other hand, we're also supposed to welcome these savages into countries.
And even your house, take your house, right, or Norway or anywhere else. Yeah, they want you to give up a room in the house to one of these people. That's
can
how
you,
sick
can
these
you
people
believe,
are.
Can you believe what they are doing and just how insulting all of this is? How just I feel degraded that they're able to do this to people. And a lot of people, unfortunately, just still can't see through this. It's so clear what they're saying and what they're doing. It's not like they're hiding it. You know, it's just absolutely unacceptable. And we are really with our backs against the wall. You know, as I said, we haven't even fielded a team to compete in the struggle. You know what I mean? We got to get our acts together here, and we got to get serious about this. And it's going to take people that are willing to dedicate their lives and risk everything they have to do this. And I'm one of those individuals.
Well, I mean, there's got to be those individuals out here, man. Everybody's just got to pull their head out of their collective rear ends and see the big picture. Unfortunately, so many people are looking at this compartmentalized view of life and history and everything else, and they've been spoon-fed so much BS, and it takes a strong mind to unlock the truth and to get to the truth. And unfortunately, there's a lot of weak minds to go around. And you know, just like these patriotards that think that ISIS is around every corner. ISIS, the Saudis, the Turks, and you know, all the corrupt regimes, Britain and the rest of them. But yet we're supposed to be scared of ISIS here, but want to go kill them. Just cognitive dissonance. It's disgust. It's contributor to several white supremacist publications. So now the American Free Press is white supremacist, and the Barnes Review are white supremacists, just because they don't take the spoon-fed media narrative. There's people on these organizations that actually deconstruct false history and try to give people the real story. And now that's white supremacist.
Right. Well, white supremacist is one of these weaponized words that really doesn't mean what the word implies. And
right.
If you're called a white supremacist, all it really means is that you're a racially conscious white person that recognizes that there's a war being waged on you and your ancestors and your traditions and your children and your community. That's all it really means. I mean, white supremacist, what does that even really mean? You know, you ask your average person and I don't even know if they'd be able to come up with a coherent answer. I mean, it's just absurd. It's ridiculous. And, you know, I mean, in my view, and this is something that is a very obvious fact. I mean, if we want to talk about white supremacy, let's just look at basic facts, basic history. You know, who invented all of the technology we're using today? Who invented and institutionalized the development of cities and agriculture and farming? All these things that we enjoy today are a direct result of white Western Christian civilization and the men and women that built it and founded it. All of our political institutions, all of our educational institutions, everything is really a direct product or a direct, you know, result of Western civilization. And if that's supremacist to say that, then you can call me a damn supremacist. I mean, that's just the reality of what's going on, of how the world works. It wasn't black Africans that invented the television or the automobile or the computer. It wasn't Jews. It wasn't Arabs. It wasn't Asians. It was white people. Period. I mean, all of this stuff that we see is the creation of white people, period. That's just the way it is. And again, if that makes me a supremacist, then so be it.
All right, so let's get back to the article here. So city manager Clay Phillips said he was unaware of Friends' activism until a reporter began asking questions about it on Tuesday, and a second person called in the same tip. That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that clearly indicates that there was multiple people contacting the city at about the same time.
Right. Well, that was probably some sort of a troll from the SPLC or somebody.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I don't know that for sure. I can't. You know, I'm not stating that as a fact. But
that's their MO. That's their MO.
They have a history of doing this, no doubt.
Yeah. So let's see here. So you weren't surprised. You were ultimately let go. I thought it was inevitable that my political and historical views would become known to the city, he said in an email to the Union Tribune. I thought that their knowledge of my writing, publishing, and speaking activities, as well as the political and historical perspective I openly espouse, would ultimately result in my termination.
Yeah, and I told that to them. I said, you know, I knew this was bound to happen. I mean, you know, it's not like I'm hiding anything. You know, I'm doing everything openly online. You know, again, I wasn't bringing that. But all anybody has to do is type in my name or Facebook or something. Hey, I wasn't on Facebook the past couple years. I just recently signed back up since this happened. You know,
really?
So I'm back on Facebook. But prior to that, I wasn't. You know, I wasn't really doing anything online aside from my website, obviously, and then my Twitter account. But my Twitter account isn't in my real name. It's at Realist Report.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think my real name is on my Twitter account, but my real name is most certainly on my website. I mean, I'm not trying to hide who I am. Which really is probably the moral of this story is that, you know, if you are saying these things openly and publicly, even on the internet or maybe especially on the internet, there are some very real consequences for your actions. I mean, you are taking a lot of risks saying these things openly and trying to bring the truth to people.
Yeah, hey, John,
especially
check this
using
out.
Your real name, yeah.
I saw this meme on the online the other day. It's like Jewish power is a fallacy, but if you talk about Jewish power, you'll lose your job. You know what I'm saying? So basically, people want to bend over all day to say basically that organized Jewish mafia, and that's what I call it, because I don't throw all Jewish people under the bus. But when Jewish people click up in these organizations such as the ADL, SPLC, American Jewish Committee, and all the Zionist organizations and so forth, basically they use their collective as a weapon against anybody that tries to call them onto the carpet for their, most of the time, criminal behavior and the other times unethical behavior. And so basically, it's like Fight Club. Don't talk about Fight Club. That's the first rule. But if you do, we're going to get your job. You know what I'm saying? That's basically what it is. And so, you know, And then people that talk about the Catholic Church being like, you know, you could Catholicism and you lost your job.
Well, see, that's the open secret that everybody knows about and nobody talks about. I mean, except for Jews. Jews in their own newspapers write all the time about their power and influence.
Oh,
and
let's talk about Coulter, because I saw a bunch of Jewish people after Ann Coulter did her How Many Effing Jews Are There in America tweet. They all started threatening her career. They're like, it's over for you. I mean, it's disgusting. It's like, okay, so she's asking a legitimate question. The question was asked to these candidates, what's America going to look like after your presidency? And a bunch of them, like Huckabee and the rest of them, start groveling, talking about Israel, when the question wasn't even about Israel. This is how mentally ill the candidates are.
It's so ridiculous,
And so Ann Coulter's like, hey, wait a minute. How many Jews are in America? And she makes a legitimate, just off-the-cuff remark, and now she's going to get pulled from all these Jewish publications. They're all threatening her career. Fox News is probably not going to have her back. And look at the fallout from just one tweet.
Well, and what's hilarious about everything is that these Jews that are attacking Coulter, and they're openly, you know, attacking her as Jews. I mean, these people, you know, a lot of these Jewish writers and activists and whatnot, I mean, they sort of masquerade as journalists and, you know, professional political pundits and analysts and whatnot. But it's very clear that they're Jews and they concern themselves with advancing Jewish interests, and that's exactly what they're doing. Meanwhile, they're screaming and hissing at Ann Coulter for saying these tweets, which were obviously true. I mean, you just watch the debate and you'll see exactly what she's talking about. And they're saying, you know, Ann Coulter, that's anti-Semitic to say that Jews have power and influence. Meanwhile, all these Jews are coming together to attack Ann Coulter. So it's like they are demonstrating the reality of Jewish power and influence, and they're condemning her for even, you know, pointing it out. It's so, you know what, to me, man, it's just so insulting to my intelligence that these people can continue to carry on and act like they're these victims and they have no power, and anybody who says that the Jews have influence is an anti-Semite and it's just not true, when they themselves demonstrate the fact that they do wield this power.
Because they'll threaten your job. They'll threaten your very existence.
They rally together to defend Jewish interests all the time. They openly brag and boast about how they influence politics and the media, and they own the media. I mean, the Jewish Daily Forward, the Jewish Daily Forward, like one of the most important and historic Jewish newspapers in America, you know, going all the way back to the late 1800s. I mean, this is a historic newspaper. They write articles all the time, and I point this out on my website all the time and highlight these facts on my website all the time, you know, talking about how Jews, you know, control American politics. You know, these wealthy Jewish billionaires. There was an article, I think it was back in March or maybe April, you know, highlighting and analyzing and, you know, just putting these Jewish billionaires on blast. You know, all these Jewish billionaires that contribute to these, you know, especially high-profile political candidates and, you know, their campaigns, you know, just going through and essentially writing about how these Jews determine elections in America. They're the ones that control these politicians. They're the ones who select who's even up for office. I mean, they themselves are saying these things. And when we talk about it, we're called racist or anti-Semitic. It's so unacceptable, man. It's just, this is just a total insult to me, and I can't stand it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. People need to detach from their mental illness and realize that, you know what, even if anybody uncomfortable, is it protected or is it not? Because, you know, you'll see sometimes they'll even try to castigate like a prominent black if he makes some sort of comment about Jewish power. But it's not nearly when if a white person does it, and so that's the thing, white people can't get out of line. And I made up this term. It's basically that whole Republican Party is the Republicood Party is really what it is. They're attached with the Likud Party right at the hip, and that's why you see the Huckabees and the rest of them just groveling. Disgusting. We'll see. We'll finish this up on the other side of the break, folks.
Great.
All right, back last minutes with John Friend of the Realist Report. That's the realistreport.com. Now, I wanted to plug this article for you guys, American Free Press. September 18th, 2015, mass migration to commit genocide. It's by Ronald L. Ray, and it's a very good article, and it talks about the Kalergi plan. It really, it's a not a long article, but I wanted to plug that one, using mass migration to commit genocide. So that was on the American Free Press. So we're back on the realistreport.com. So he's, John's got a City of Escondido tab now up at the top, and so you can keep up on his dealings with the City of Escondido. And so just finishing up on the article, basically, John was talking about the 9/11 attacks were orchestrated by the Israeli government to create the international war on terrorism. I mean, this was a big hit. I mean, we're all seeing, those of us that are close to the streets, we're seeing the heroin epidemic, which is tied in with 9/11. That way they could go take over the dope trade in Afghanistan. This is such a massive epidemic in our country. The young people strung out on heroin all across this nation. I live smack dab in the middle of the nation, and you would be fascinated to see the amount of kids all strung out on heroin. Heroin is so cheap. It's cheaper than good weed. That's how they flooded this country with this drug, which just destroys lives. And so the entire go ahead.
They even use the opium for synthetic purposes and pharmacological drugs, and that's been devastating, you know, to America.
Oh, that's killing people everywhere. OD on pills.
Yeah, man. I mean, I have with that seriously had some issues with these pills and Oxycontin, which is basically synthetic heroin, you know. So, I mean, yeah, this is huge. This is a big deal, and you're right. It is directly tied to 9/11 and the, you know, agenda to basically take over the opium production and the trade in opium. And that's what has happened. I mean, that's really what's going on in Afghanistan, especially.